listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Ben Rylan, and today we are dialing up New York, where the seasoned theatre critic Matt Wolfe is on hand to guide us through the manic months of April and May on the city's theatre scene. With the Tony Awards just a couple of months away, things are ramping up on the Big Apple stages, and today Matt will be setting the scene as well as taking us through two of his highlights as well. That's all coming up on the Monocle Arts Review with me, Ben Rylan. Stay tuned. Welcome to the show, Matt. Whenever you're in New York, you must always be so trapped inside the theatres. How's the trip been so far? Have you actually seen much of the city?
Well, it's been very cold. It continues to be very cold. One does spend a lot of time trapped on the subway. If one wants renewed appreciation of the London Tube, try the New York subway. That's all I can say. But it is a very busy time theatrically. So one spends a lot of time between sort of 39th Street and 51st Street in the Broadway Theater District. That's true.
Well, that is a very good thing, because that's exactly, of course, what we're going to be discussing today. And we are fast approaching Tony season, so there must be plenty going on over there on Broadway. Aside from the plays we'll be talking about today, though, what have people been raving about?
Well, the extraordinary thing about going to the theater in New York in April and May is that really, in a town where theater is, you know, a popular activity at any point, it sort of ramps up to another level. Of course, in the media age, everyone lives for awards across all disciplines and endeavors, and the Tonys have become, you know, a huge part of what now, of course, is a billion-dollar industry, that billion-dollar industry being Broadway. So there's just a lot of kind of almost frenzy in these couple of months, especially the next few weeks. They're going to be, you know, three or four major Broadway openings a week, and then the nominations come out on May 3rd, and then it sort of all goes quiet. The big talk of the entire season has been Hamilton, the musical, which began actually about a year or so ago off-Broadway, transferred to Broadway, and is grossing almost $2 million a week at a top ticket price of over $500, and people are paying it, and they're accused for returns. It's unbelievable.
Absolutely extraordinary. So the nominations are only a month away then. Yep. Look, I'm almost frightened to ask, but do you dare tip your hat to any particular predictions at this stage?
Well, Hamilton clearly in the musical category is the behemoth against which everything else is going to be judged. Although there's a show as yet to open, I certainly will see it on my next visit here, called Shuffle Along, starring the six-time Tony Award winner Audra McDonald, and she's Broadway royalty. And I think any musical that Audra McDonald is in will certainly be a contender. But Hamilton looks likely to be, you know, pretty much an unstoppable juggernaut. In the play category, hard to say. There's a play that was just in London called The Father, for which Kenneth Cranham recently won the Olivier Award. That's opening on Broadway next week in a totally different production. Maybe that will do well. There's a play on Broadway now with Lupita Nyong'o called Eclipsed, about war-torn Liberia, and that has had a lot of attention. So we'll see. There's a lot of diversity on Broadway at the moment, which I think is good, real diversity.
Interesting to hear diversity on Broadway then. I know that the criticisms of Broadway just being a little bit too predictable can sometimes hop up. In your opinion, where are the most exciting things at the moment then, on or off Broadway?
Well, that's a very good question, Ben. You know, I'm here scoping out the Tony contenders, but the really extraordinary thing to be reminded of in New York is how busy and bustling off-Broadway always is. And let's not forget that both Eclipsed and Hamilton and another Broadway show at the moment called The Humans, a wonderful play by Stephen Karam, all three of these shows began off-Broadway. So off-Broadway, to answer your question, is really the seedbed of creativity, from which a very small percentage of works are then taken and transferred uptown. During the week or so that I've been here, I've seen more things off-Broadway than on, some of which, you know, we may talk about. And it's very exciting seeing things off-Broadway, because you're seeing them in their kind of infancy before the rest of the world discovers them. And that has a real appeal. You feel very in the know. And of course, the other thing is the ticket prices are a lot cheaper.
Well, let's move on to our first play then today, which is The Crucible. This reincarnation of Arthur Miller's dramatization of the 17th century Salem witch trials features an all-star cast, including Saoirse Ronan and the wonderful Ben Whishaw as well, and sees Ivo van Hove take up the director's chair. Matt, recap us some of the storyline, if you will.
Well, this is a play that is studied in schoolrooms, certainly across the Western world, and I think it's no accident in this remarkable production that the very first thing you see is a schoolroom. And in fact, the entire set is a kind of generalized, grimly industrial schoolroom. It's the story of the Salem witch trials in Salem, Massachusetts at the end of the 17th century, 1692. And when it was written by Arthur Miller in the 50s, it was widely perceived as a parable for the McCarthy-era Red Scare that Miller was moving amongst at the time. What's interesting about this production is that without in any way altering the text, Eva Van Hove has been scrupulously faithful to the text. What he's done is managed to transpose the play metaphorically yet again to the world of America now and the landscape of Donald Trump and the kind of climate of hysteria and rage and enmity that many feel is at large in the U.S. at the moment. And he does this not through sort of big banner-waving statements, but just by, in a funny way, letting the language fall in a very particular, acutely acted way, and also modernizing some of the look of it. So, for instance, the characters are, you know, for the most part in modern dress. The imagery of the final scene between the hero, John Proctor, who's one of the great dramatic heroes of American literature, and his faithful yet wronged wife, Elizabeth. The final scene, and I don't want to give too much away for people who see it, but watching the way it's been presented here, it's very hard not to think of the contemporary world of waterboarding, torture, that kind of thing. It's a very unflinching, very aggressively political production, but political with a small p.
It's so fascinating that you pick up on some of the current context that this falls into. Well, I suppose it sort of just falls into that really by our own perception, doesn't it? I find it interesting that the director here, Eva Van Hove, he apparently isn't a huge fan of Arthur Miller. Apparently he cites the Miller's interest in good versus evil as something that doesn't really interest him so much. How do you think that that has then translated into this play coming together, as you seem to indicate, quite successfully?
Well, I think the interesting thing about Van Hove, who is a European-based director, he's Belgian but based in the Netherlands and has a theater group there, and he's done a lot of stuff in London, principally at the Young Vic, but he's a darling in New York of the downtown avant-garde, and I think 5 years ago, if anyone had said he'd be directing an all-star production of The Crucible on Broadway, everyone would have said he was nuts, not least Eva Van Hove. But what happened was he did a production in London of another Miller play called A View from the Bridge with Mark Strong, that was really popular and successful in London, won a couple of Oliviers, and then transferred earlier this season to Broadway to similar rave reviews. And so I think all of a sudden people realize, gosh, he's got interesting things to say about these plays, and they seem to appeal to a broader audience. As far as his feelings about Arthur Miller, I kind of share his sense that there can be, and I stress can be, something about Arthur Miller that is a bit dutiful, a little bit worthy, sometimes a little bit dusty. And I think what Van Hove has managed to do is blow the dust off these plays, both with View from the Bridge and with this. There's a wonderful image in this production of The Crucible, there's almost a metaphor for that, where in the second act, the windows to the side of the stage fly open, and there's an enormous windstorm that kind of sweeps through the stage, catching the characters and the audience by surprise. And it's as if that's a sort of metaphor for what Eva Van Hove is doing to Miller's text.
Well, forgive me, because I do need to chat briefly about the rather handsome Ben Whishaw. He has been commented on as the...
Yes.
Some people have said he's a little bit unlikely to be playing the so-called strapping New England farmer, John Proctor.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on how he handles the role? I would imagine that he would be capable of bringing a bit of a fresh take to the whole concept.
I have to say, I thought the entire cast was great. Saoirse Ronan, who was just nominated for an Oscar for her terrific performance in Brooklyn, the film, as far as I can tell, has never been in a play before anywhere professionally, and she's wonderful as Abigail Williams, who's the accuser of the Ben Whishaw character. Sophie Akinado, extraordinary London-based actress who plays John Proctor's wife, she's terrific. You're absolutely right that Ben Whishaw is kind of an elfin, sort of Peter Pan-like presence. He's very lithe. He looks almost like a dancer, and he's kind of the last person person physically, you'd associate with this part, which has been played recently by, you know, Richard Armitage at the Old Vic in London, Daniel Day-Lewis on screen, Liam Neeson was the last person to do it on Broadway. I don't think Ben Whishaw has ever been mentioned in a sentence with those people before, but because this isn't a production where you see John Proctor at work, in other words, I've seen other productions of The Crucible where you see him chopping wood, you see him being very physical, you see him, you know, going about his farm chores. You don't see any of that here. So what matters in this production is, can he inhabit the part soulfully and spiritually? And of course, Ben, who came to attention in London at the Old Vic playing Hamlet, has no shortage of soul, and he lends himself to the psychological dimensions of the part absolutely beautifully. And he and Sophie Akinado have a heartbreaking chemistry towards the end of the play, where they have this final scene where physical circumstances really mean that they almost can't touch each other physically, but they're absolutely connected emotionally.
That is The Crucible on at the Walter Kerr Theatre until the 17th of July. Now, we're heading off Broadway now to the Public Theatre, where the world premiere of Dry Powder is being shown. Now, this is a funny new drama, and it's about the people shaping and skewing the American economy. Matt, tell us a little bit more about what's going on here.
Well, I like connecting things up to the current American political race, because why not? And the landscape of Dry Powder is exactly the landscape that Bernie Sanders, who, you know, has been doing surprisingly well so far in the primaries, would lambaste. It's the landscape of the 1%, the people who traffic in the language of, you know, leveraged buyouts and corporate raiders and capital management outfits and phrases that probably to you and me make us just scratch our heads going, what does that mean? But to the people who move in that world, of course, it's absolutely their common language. You remember the Oscar-nominated film just recently, The Big Short? It's a little bit like seeing a version of The Big Short on stage, although it's not quite as entertaining. It's not quite as funny. This is a much more po-faced play. Interestingly, written by a woman, Sarah Burgess. I kind of like that it was written by a woman, because you tend to think of this world as very macho and kind of, you know, a boy's own world. So the fact that a woman wrote about this terrain, I thought was great. What's interesting is it's at the Public, which is the theater where Hamilton began, as I say, last year, and it's got a Broadway caliber cast. I mean, Hank Azaria, who's, you know, very well known, Claire Danes, multi-Emmy and Golden Globe winner from Homeland, John Krasinski, who's popular in America from The Office, on TV and various films. And you think, well, why isn't this on Broadway? But, you know, these are actors who like working downtown. They're not doing it for the money. It's a new play, and they want to give a new playwright a chance. Claire Danes' performance is tough, lean, mean. If you admire her as Carrie Matheson on TV and Homeland, you get much the same thing here. And she has a parade of killer outfits, you know, with heels as stiletto sharp as the personality of the character she's playing. I was particularly taken by John Krasinski, an actor who, again, I don't think has done much, if any, professional theater, but he's immediately likable on stage. It helps that he plays the one of those three stars, the one character who has anything approaching a conscience. He's really a very engaging stage presence, and I hope that when the run of this play is over, he doesn't beetle it entirely back to Hollywood and does some more theater.
Let's talk quickly about the director, because he's a good name to have on this. I understand that he's previously worked on Curious Incident and also Hamilton, which you were talking about a little bit earlier. What's his work like on this? Because I know you just said that it's playing downtown and it doesn't necessarily rate up there as an A-list Broadway act, does it?
No, but I have a feeling Thomas Kail, the director you mentioned, who it is absolutely, I would imagine, a dead cert to win the Tony Award in June for Best Director of a Musical for Hamilton. And he's already had a Tony-winning musical on Broadway a couple of years ago called In the Heights. Hamilton is a big, complex mechanism of a show with a big cast. And, you know, these Broadway musicals are big machines. And he just did a version of Grease, the musical on TV. And I would guess that for him to be doing a play with a cast of four, one modular set, which is cobalt blue, and it doesn't, you know, suggest rooms or anything. It's just shapes on a very, you know, small stage. The audience sitting on all sides of the action. so that, you know, the actors are encompassed in every which way. I would think for him, this would be a little bit like going on holiday, because all he really has to focus on is the actors and the text and nothing else. Whereas with the other stuff that we've talked about, it's a whole apparatus, which here he can just pare it right to the bone. And, you know, you're a director, you like to do different sorts of things. You don't just want to do the big all the time or the small all the time. And it's nice for him to move between the two.
Indeed, and everybody has a different idea of a holiday, so I think that's proof of that. Well, Dry Powder is on at the Public Theatre until May the 1st, and that does indeed bring us to the end of today's show. Thanks very much to my guest in New York City, Matt Wolf. You have been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Ben Ryland. We'll be back at the same time tomorrow to talk about books. But for now, it's goodbye from me. Thanks for listening.